And welcome back to the Tip TV Mining Show, sponsored by Blytheway and Bearer Dolbear. Today, Charlie and I will be talking to Trevor Scott, who is the CFO of a company much in the news recently, Oak Bay Resources. Welcome, Trevor.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So can you start by telling us a little bit about Oak Bay Resources and your assets?
Yes, indeed. Oak Bay Resources and Energy is a mining company that's listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. It's a South African company. Its assets are located in South Africa. It's got a uranium mine, it's got a gold mine, and we have a coal mine. So those are the three mining operations that we have running at the moment. We listed in November 2014, and the company's got a market capitalization of around about $1.2 billion. We primarily focused on the Southern African market. The company is positioning itself as a diversified miner of energy-related natural resources, and that is our focus at the moment.
Trevor, if I could here, you've been much in the news recently, and Oak Bay has seen some fairly dramatic fluctuations in its share price. Can you just tell us a little bit about what's behind that and why?
Yes, look, it's difficult to speculate on, I think, some of the reasons that are behind the, let's say, the company being in the news. It's I suppose it wouldn't add value to for me to do that. But as most people know, that the majority shareholder of the company is a well-known family in South Africa. They are the Gupta family, and they have been associated in political circles. Unfortunately, there has been quite a lot of political, let's say, to-ing and fro-ing in South Africa recently, and I think due to their association with politics, the company has inadvertently been drawn into the spotlight for reasons other than business.
Now, you obviously run the company. Can you just do the Guptas have any management involvement on a day-to-day basis, or are they passive shareholders?
They are passive shareholders. I believe in April of this year, they actually made an announcement to step down from all executive and non-executive positions in the entire broader Oak Bay group. And it was at that time that our chairman, Atul Gupta, and our CEO, Varun Gupta, resigned. And the company is run by a board of directors, the majority of whom are independent non-executive directors. So their involvement is very much one of passive shareholders, and the company is run, you know, in line with the principles of corporate governance, just like every other listed company. And Charlie, just to get to your question on the movements in the share price, the share price liquidity is low. The reason for that being was when the company listed in November 2014. It was what they call in South Africa listing by way of introduction, which generally means we did not raise capital. We didn't do an IPO. We did a small private placement, and we listed the company. The idea behind that was to, especially I think due to some of the speculation around the company shareholders, was to build up a track record of transparency in a listed company environment. We wanted to build the board of directors. We wanted to publish annual reports and comply with stock exchange listings requirements, all of those things. And, you know, around about 18 months, after an 18-month period, we would then look to probably broaden the shareholder base and raise capital and improve the liquidity. The company has got several plans that are currently in process to improve the liquidity in the share. And it's a work in progress, and I'm confident that we will, you know, once those programs have been completed, we won't see those extreme movements in the share price. They are very much a function of the fact that there's very few shares available to trade at any given time. There's not a lot of sellers in the market. I think once the number of sellers improves, you won't see those massive spreads materializing, and we won't see the share price, the extreme share price movements.
So if you like, to some extent, you have taken over the running of the company in order to bring it into the new post-Gupta family world.
Well, not just me. I think together with the board as a whole and our CEO, Jacques Roux, who's unfortunately not with me today, we've been charged with managing this company and executing the strategy and adding wealth for all shareholders, not just the Gupta family. I think it's important to note that there's about 753 shareholders as of today. of which the Gupta family are just one. There's another 750 that we've got to look after. There's employees. I've got development funding institutions that are shareholders and international investors.
So enough about the past. Tell us a little bit about the company, about its assets and its aspirations for the future.
Okay. As I indicated earlier, the company's got three primary assets, the first being a uranium mine. The uranium mine is known as the Sheva Uranium Mine, and it's located in the northwest province of South Africa on the very western tip of the famous Wits Basin, which is the primary gold-producing area of South Africa. What makes Sheva Uranium quite notable as a uranium project is it has an extremely large resource of around about 200 million pounds, which I think positions it as one of the largest in the world, if not at least in Africa. It's an advanced brownfields project, which means that we already have an underground mine. It's completely developed. We have a world-class uranium processing plant that has been historically commissioned. It's a one-of-a-kind plant in Africa. It's unique. It is a very large plant. It's capable of producing around about 280,000 pounds of uranium it's capable of processing about 280,000 tons per month of uranium run of mine, which is fairly large. And the project is very near to production, which I think sets it apart from quite a lot of uranium projects worldwide. So it's a very big uranium resource, and it's pretty much ready to go. We've got about an 18-month development program to get the mine into production. It's currently in a development phase. One of the reasons for that is the fact that the uranium prices are fairly low at the moment, and we are self-funding the development. The other thing that makes Sheva Uranium quite notable, in my view, compared to other uranium projects, is we have a 5.2 million ounce gold resource, which is fairly large. Essentially, as the gold is mined as a byproduct of the uranium, they co-occur in the ore body. And the value of the gold credits, especially at today's gold prices of around about $1,300 an ounce, really does give Sheva Uranium the potential to become one of the lowest cost net producers, or lowest net cost producer rather, in the world. And it's really positioned the mine very well in the Sheva Uranium project.
So, Trevor, just for those of us, who sort of remember the Wits Basin, but you said it was on the western tip, so I'm envisaging Klerksdorp, somewhere around there, is that?
Correct, 20 kilometres west of Klerksdorp, in a town called Hartbeesfontein.
Okay, and is this fairly conventional? It's not the old Hartbeesfontein mine that Anglo-Vaal used to run, is it?
No, this is actually the old Uranium One mine.
Right.
Which acquired by Oak Bay in 2010 from Uranium One. At that time, I think we acquired it for about $38 million. The mine was in a distressed state. We turned it around in 2010. We produced our first uranium, I think, about 10 months after acquisition. Sadly, I think the Fukushima disaster in 2012 had a very negative effect on uranium prices as well as our plans. And we've been focusing very much on mining the gold, especially the open castable gold resource that is there, while we are self-funding the development of the uranium.
And this is not the conventional underground mine, sort of narrow breast stoping, first stage, drop down 1,000 or 1,500 metres?
No, the mine's not that deep. It's around about, I think the lowest point of the mine's about 400, let's say 440 metres.
Right. So in Wits terms, very shallow.
Yeah, and they use hybrid mining techniques to mine it, but it is fairly conventional. Yeah.
And it's a conventional Witwatersrand reef?
Yes, it is.
Which reef are you on?
We are mining Bonanza, the Bonanza Reef, the uranium-bearing reefs are the Dominion Upper and Dominion Lower reefs.
So we've spoken about uranium there and how you're bringing that into development. So when do you expect to? Are you in commercial production yet?
Not on the uranium. The uranium's is in a development phase at the moment. Our strategy with regards to the uranium is we completed a feasibility study in 2009 on the uranium mine. I think the history of this asset under Uranium One, there was a fair amount of interest in the project, and we commissioned a bankable feasibility study in 2009, which around about the time of listing, we had a second look at the project, and we realized that there was a vast amount of the ore body that we felt could be brought into the feasibility study. And for the better part of the last 8 months, we've been completing essentially what is a pre-feasibility study. The reason we did that was to see whether it'd be worthwhile to do a second bankable feasibility study on the uranium project, with the objective of potentially dramatically improving the total resource that can be mined, the throughput of the uranium that would go out of the mine and into the plant, and obviously the overall value of the project. We wanted to also bring in a lot of the gold resources that we've discovered ourselves on the property since 2010. And, you know, we've just very recently completed this exercise, and the results are very promising. It's very likely we're going to launch into the second bankable feasibility study. And at the same time, we've initiated our capital raising process. We're starting to speak to some international investors. I think once this process has been completed, and hopefully it'll be completed fairly soon, we will probably accelerate the development on the underground uranium mine, and that'll take from there about 18 months into production.
So next stage is the bankable. What's the timing on that?
We're hoping to do it in 9 months, which is aggressive, but 9 to 12 months.
So middle of next year, middle to the third quarter of next year.
Correct.
I know we're running a bit short of time, Trevor, but if you tell us, we've spoken obviously a lot about the uranium, but what about the gold project? What about the coal project?
On the gold project, I think most of the gold is, our focus on it is to mine the open castable, easy to reach stuff that's out there at the moment that's outcropping, accelerate that, bring that forward into our production profile while the uranium is being developed. So, you know, that'll really have a very good impact on our cash flow for the next couple of years. Also taking advantage of very high gold prices. So our focus on the gold is that. We may look to do some acquisitions in the gold space in the nearby regions, you know, see what we can find there. And with regards to the coal, obviously we've just recently acquired the Braakfontein Colliery. It is a mine that produces thermal coal for the domestic market. It's got a 10-year supply agreement. And our focus on that is to expand the production to around about 240,000 tons a month, from around about 120 where we are now, and further acquisitions in the coal space. That's our focus at the moment.
Is this why you have an interest in Tegeta, is that right?
No, we don't have an interest in Tegeta at all. We actually acquired the Braakfontein mine from Tegeta. We acquired the assets. So we don't have any holdings in the equity of Tegeta whatsoever. And Tegeta is actually, a 28% owned associate of Oak Bay Investments, which is our holding company. That's really the relationship between the two companies.
Excellent. Trevor, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today, but thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show, and we hope to see you again soon.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And don't forget to join us next week, where we'll be speaking to the CEO of Strongbow. We'll see you then.